Well, good morning. Welcome to Sunday School today. Trust you've had a good week. It's always a good time to be in God's house, isn't it? No matter when it is. And I'm thankful today for this opportunity. And thank you for being here today and trusting God for a good day in His house. I tell you, I often think about what people do that don't go to church in Sunday School. What do they do? You know, I tell you, they work, fish, everything you think about, probably. But I know one thing, they miss out on a blessing. They really do. And but anyway, we need to pray for those people. And I know people that way, and you do too, I'm sure. But we're glad today that know that we're able to be together in the house of God. Take your Bibles once again. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As we continue our study on the walk of the Christian. In verses 25 through 32, we find here that Paul, as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and also all believers, really, he's writing to us too. We find in verse 1 of chapter 1. He's writing here and he's giving some very practical things in our lives. This is a very practical passage here that we are dealing with in the life of a Christian. Whenever we dress ourselves as individuals, we want to be sure that we put on the right clothes, don't we? I mean, appropriate clothes for the appropriate occasion, whatever it may be in our lives. And whenever we are around someone that maybe is not dressed appropriate, we want to avoid them. We want to get away from them, you know. And so we find here, Paul, as he writes here, he's speaking about spiritual things. But remember I said back in John chapter 11, when Lazarus rose from the grave, they loosed him and let him go, the grave clothes. And Paul is writing here about some garments or some clothes, or spiritually speaking, that is, and things that we need to do away with when we become a Christian. First of all, we talked about put away lying. Now, we're not talking about hanging up in a closet, you know, and leaving it there. We're talking about putting it away, lying. That is, completely do away with it. Do away with it, you know. And we try our best to put it away and do away with it completely, even at our best. There's going to be times it's going to creep in on us if we're not careful as God's children. And we're going to slip and tell something or say something that is not all truth if we're not careful, as long as we're in this flesh. Now, this is why Paul is writing here, to exhort us and try to encourage us to do our best. And we can only do our best with the Lord's help. You know, we can't do our best ourselves. We can do our best only with the Lord's help in our lives and His wisdom, His strength. So we find here that these are things here that Paul is writing about here that the believers should put off the old man. Things, again, we brought with us from our birth right on until today. Even past the time we got saved, we're still bringing some of that old stuff with us. And we need to be aware of this and try to get rid of it. So Paul is trying to encourage us. He's trying to exhort us today in these things that we're talking about. You know, isn't it strange, though, I said before, how Paul is bringing up these things that we as Christians know we shouldn't be doing to start with. Lying, one thing. Isn't it strange he mentions this to us as believers, that we should not do this, we should put it away. Isn't it strange, I talked about last Sunday, how we should be angry and sin not. Angry and sin not. We talked about the dangers of anger. There is bad anger, there's good anger. But we need to be careful when we are faced with these things in life that we may get upset. But it's odd, it's strange for Paul to be speaking to Christians and say these kind of things we ought to be putting away and not having in our lives. He's trying to emphasize to us something, that we're still in the flesh. We're still in this old house of clay. And until God takes us home, we're going to have to deal with this flesh and the things that this flesh wants to do and encourage us to do. It's very strong, it really is, as far as doing what it shouldn't do. You know, we have to battle it. Paul says, I war daily. I fight daily this flesh that I'm housed in, you know, that I can do what will bring honor to my Lord and my Savior. So we're dealing with these things today. Today we pick up in verse number 28. Verse number 28, let's pray first as we look at another thing that we must deal with as far as Christians are concerned. Father, thank you now for the Word of God that you've given us. Lord, today as we come and as we open it together, again, I pray the Spirit of God will be our teacher. Lord, may He guide and direct our thinking. Lord, our speaking today, our gestures, everything that's said and done here in this room today, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will have His will and His way. Lord, help us as your children to realize, Lord, that we are in a house of clay that is subject to do anything that we did before we were saved. Yet, Lord, we must have it in subjection, as Paul talks about. And Lord, we must have control by the Spirit of God in our life, Lord, that we do not alter and change things in our life and go off the wrong way. Oh, God, we know apart from your grace, any of us today could just go out into the world and do what we want to do. But Lord, within our heart, there's a burning desire, Lord, to want to please you, God, and do what you want us to do. So, Father, increase that desire today, God, as we look at this subject today, and God, just bring us, Lord, to where you want us to be, Lord, that we might want that more than anything in our life. Be with us now as we go through this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now look at verse number 28. Paul again is writing here, talking about the walk of the believer. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather labor, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So we see here another thing he's talking about. Again, strange that Paul would address to believers not to steal. Not to steal. Let him that stole steal no more. He's talking to Christians, isn't he? He's talking to us that have stolen in the past. We have stolen, we have done wrong in the past. But because of that, we are now God's children. We are to steal no more. Steal no more. And you know, it's so easy at the office to pick up a pen, put it in your pocket, be using it daily, and the first thing you know, you get home and here it is. How in the world does this get here, you know? I mean, it's easy to do little things in our life that normally we would not do, but it's just an unconscious thing we're doing sometimes and pick up things we shouldn't do. So we find here, let him that stole steal no more. Now, what is to steal? To steal is to take something wrongfully, isn't it? Something that belongs to someone else. That's to steal. To steal. Stealing is a sin, is it not? It's a sin, and it ought not be even named among Christian people today. That is stealing. We see stealing, what does it do? We see stealing springs up out of a selfish heart. A selfish heart. Selfishness will promote stealing. Selfishness. We also see stealing breaks the very commandment of love. It breaks the commandment of love. You know, if we love, we don't want anything that doesn't belong to us. Nothing whatsoever. If it don't, you know, if I haven't paid for it, you know, it's not mine. My wife and I was in a place yesterday, and a mother was there with a little child and trying to find something he wanted, and she let him pick it out. What he wanted, you know. And she said to him, says, now, son, what do we do with it now? And little boy says, we go pay for it. I like that. She's teaching him the right thing, isn't it? Isn't she? You pay for something. You don't just go to the store and get it, walk out with it, but you have to pay for it. Therefore, if you don't, you're stealing it. You're stealing it. And so, you know, it blessed our heart to see that this lady was trying to raise her little boy in the right way, you know, about this thing about stealing. Also, stealing proves to the world, it proves that the world has a great hold upon our heart. The world has a great hold upon our hearts. In other words, there's things in the world that grab us, that we want, that we desire. You see? And we're not careful, we will get them any way we can. But listen, Christians, we don't want to steal. We don't want to steal. It's not worth having. No matter what you see in this world, if I got to steal to get it, I don't need it. I don't want it in my life. See? So we see that stealing does these things to us. Now, you and I know today in which we live that the laws of mankind today, that man have, the laws of mankind, do not determine whether a person is stealing or not. Do they? I mean, the laws. We know we have the law God gave in Exodus chapter 20, verse number, it's the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not steal. God gave that law. Now, I'm talking about the laws of man. The laws of mankind are not determining rule whether a person is stealing or not. For example, men can sometimes use the law to get what they want, can't they? They will literally use the law to get what they want in their life. We also see sometimes that men can take from others without breaking the law. Without breaking the law. I mean, there are people that know the law and are crooked enough, they can do that, and they do that today in which we live. So we see that men's law is not the determined rule whether a person is stealing or not out here. We also see that men can secure much well beyond what they need. They're what we call whoring things in this world. Building up, hiding it away, you know, for whatever reason. You know, they are literally stealing. We're going to show you that in a little bit, what this verse says here. But a person steals something. When they steal something, it's something that actually belongs to another person. It belongs to another individual. A person can steal, again, by banking or hoarding up things in their life more than they actually need in their life. And we know people all over the world are like that today. Keeping what is not needed for one's needs themselves. That's hoarding, you know. That is keeping back what is desperately needed by other people in our lives as children of God, you see. So we see that this is stealing. Now, there's a caution here with stealing and any other particular sin in our lives as children of God and as individuals. Whenever it comes to a particular sin that we've done a long time in our life, okay? And here we are trying to break it, we're trying to stop it. We will find we're in great danger of picking it back up again. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's stealing, if it's cursing, or whatever it is in a person's life, when they try to stop what that is, they have a hard time because they can easily pick it back up again. And Satan will see to that. He will see that this happens in their life. Now let's notice here in this verse, let him that stole steal no more. We see here the charge here. Let him that stole steal no more. Here's a caution. Take hold of sin. Be mindful of what this is. This is wrong. Here's a caution sign going up. Let him that stole steal no more. He's identifying us all as stealers, okay? And therefore, we're to steal no more. Let him that stole. Anybody in here never stole anything? Raise your hand. All of us have. All of us have stole something, you see. But see, the problem is this. You see, we need to recognize that we should not do it. We should abound from it. Now, how do we do this? He said, let him that stole steal no more. But notice what he says here. But rather let him what? Labor. Work. That's a four-letter word that some people don't like. W-O-R-K. Work. But you know, it's the best thing that ever happened to people. It's to work, if you're able to work. It may be home working. It may be somewhere else working, but work is good for everybody. It's good in many ways here, you see. Back in Genesis chapter 3, you'd like to join me there? Genesis chapter 3. Work is good. Look at verse number 19. We know here, after what happened in the temptation, how Eve failed and all this. And we find here, as God is addressing the situation here, he says in verse 19 of chapter 3, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it what wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." It says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." Now, sweat is a Johnson County word, okay? Perspiration may be a more up-to-date word, but sweat, the Bible tells us, is what work involves. You know, if you get out here and work some, you're going to sweat, aren't you? I mean, you're going to perspire, whatever you want to call it, but there's something that's going to take place within you. That afternoon, I got home and was working in my yard, and my neighbor, he's 72, works in the other yard. And when I saw him, you know, he says, "I'm having fun, aren't you?" He always kids me, you know, he's having fun. Well, about 2 hours later, he was still out there and I was too. And I looked over there and he said to me, he says, "I'm tired of having fun." It's getting dark, you know, and it's time to go in the house. But he's always carrying on like that. I like that. He's a working man. He really is, to be his age. He's always busy. And I like to be around people like that, that are energetic and want to do things and make things look right and be right around the house. But you know, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Thou shalt eat bread. I also turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Working is good. Good for us. You know, I thank God today we have something to do. Have something to do. Many don't. And we'll talk about that too a little bit later on. Matthew 5, verse 42. "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Turn not thou away. So we see that working is very, very important. The charge here is a caution. "Let him that stole steal no more, but labor, but work. That's the charge for those that are inclined to steal. You see, now we see, what is the remedy for stealing? How can stealing be eliminated? How can stealing be brought down to nothing, literally? It says right here in this verse, verse 28, it says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor." Notice, working with his what? Hands. Working with his hands. You know, let him labor working with his hand. Work is to be honest, and it is to meet the needs of one's family. That's why we work. To be able to meet our needs. Work is to be for the Lord's purpose and for the Lord's cause too. For the Lord's purpose and the Lord's cause, you see. We see here that what is the answer? The answer is diligent work. Diligent work. You know, I believe with all my heart today, the reason there's so much stealing today is because there's so many people that don't have nothing to do. They don't have nothing to do. I'm thankful that most of us were reared and raised in the generation time that wasn't a problem. We always had something to do. And because of that, no doubt, it's kept a lot of us out of trouble that we could have got into if our parents did not foresee and know that we needed to be busy in our lives. Because you know today, most people today, a lot of people today, have nothing to do. They have nothing to do. Now, I'm not talking about people necessarily that don't have a job. I'm talking about young people, especially in their homes. They need something to do. They need something to do. You know, they don't need to be idle, you see. They don't need to be out. Diligent work is very, very important. Idleness, idleness, being idle, is inconsistent with the Christian's life. This granddaughter was going to get married. And she was talking with her granddaddy one day, and he'd been married over 65 years. And she said to him, says, granddaddy says, give me some advice. How can you help me? That my husband and my boyfriend and I, when we get married, that we can stay together. What kind of advice would you give me? He said to the young lady, he says, work your husband to death. Work him. I mean, he goes off in the morning to work. He comes home that night. Feed him. Give him a honey-do list. And get busy. Don't let him sit down and watch television. Don't let him get on the internet. Don't let him occupy his mind nowhere else but work, 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 work. If you do that, you'll stay married, I promise you. And I believe that. Idleness is a dangerous thing, folks, in our lives as individuals, as a Christian, as a non-Christian. Idleness will get us in trouble. You know, and I've heard all my life, and I what is it? An idle mind is the devil's workshop? Yeah. Anyway, not doing something is putting ourselves in the hands of the devil. You know, to think, get us to think things and get us to be off in things we should not be into. So what I'm saying is work is the answer here. We see here that we should work with our hands to prevent stealing, to be stealing. Now, we must realize, no matter where you work, no matter where I work, we need to focus on the fact that God is our employer. We're working for Him. He's given us that job. He's given us that position, whatever it is in our life. And we need to focus on that one thought. You know, you say, Brother Keith, I don't like my job. Well, I've been there. I've done that. But nevertheless, you must focus on the fact that God gave you that job, and you be praying that God will give you another job that you can enjoy and that you would like to have if you don't like the job that you're doing, you see. But we need to focus on God is my employer. I'm doing today at this place what I do, I'm doing it for God, and I'm doing it for His honor and for His glory. I'm going to be the best employer I can be today because I'm working for God. I'm working for God here at this place. God is our refuge. By the way, if we have a job, God has given us that job. He's appointed that work for us as individuals, you see. And we need to thank Him for that. Thank Him for that. I'm talking about any job. And I'm saying this to you, mothers that are staying home, that is probably one of the most important jobs anybody could ever have. Staying at home and raising your children. And getting them to do what they should do and teaching them and training them to be good people when they grow up. That's very important. God's given you that position. Also, not only has He appointed you to work, He's also required it for you. He's put you in a position now. He's making you accountable, maybe I should say, for the job that you have. You have to do the very best you can do. No matter where you work at, what kind of job you have today, make it the best you can make, you see. Oh, I would today that we could all see this, you see. Idleness, I believe with all my heart, makes thieves. Idleness will make thieves. They'll be stealers. They'll break in things. They'll do things they shouldn't do because they don't have anything to occupy their mind. And you know as well as I know, an individual that says, I don't do it, but in watching news, sometimes I see some things. If you watch television and watch internet much, you're going to have thoughts in your minds that you shouldn't have about stealing, about killing, about all kinds of garbage that's on the television and on the internet. It's filth, is all it is. It's corruptness, you see. And that's exactly what Satan has put in this world today, to corrupt the hearts and minds of us if we're not careful. So idleness should be out the window, okay? Idleness creates thieves. I believe that with all my heart, you see. We're advised to work here. There's a warning against the sin of stealing here. Let him that stole steal no more. Okay? We're not to do that. But we're to work with His hands. Work with His hands. Do something. You know, being raised on the farm, most of what to do is with your hands. There's not much. There are some intellect involved, yes. But most of it is with your physical hands. Work on things. And I like to work like that. It's good for me. Sometimes I go home from work here, and if it's nice outside, I get outside and I work in the ground. I love to do it. It relaxes me. Brings me, you know, just settles me down, you see, because I love to work with my hands out in the yard and different places, you see. And it helps me. It helps me in a lot of ways. So we see here that we should take heed of this sin of stealing. We need to be conscious of it. Conscious of it. That him that stole, steal no more. But we're to labor, working with our hands. Working with our hands. Now, why should we labor? Why should we labor? Notice it says, working with his hands the things which is good. The things which is good. Now, notice first of all, idleness also will bring men to want. Did you know that? Being idle will bring men to want. It will also increase their necessities in life because they're not having what they need. Because they're idle, because they're not working, therefore they don't have any means of getting what they need. You know, you heard the story. This guy went up when this guy was digging holes. You've heard this before, I'm sure. He was out here with digging holes, you know. And the guy went up to him and said, "Sir, what you doing?" He said, "I'm digging a hole." He says, "Well, why are you digging a hole?" He said, "Well, I'm digging a hole because I need to work." He said, "Why do you need to work?" "I need to work so I can have some money." "Why do you need money?" "I need money so I can eat." "Why do you need to eat?" "I need to eat so I can have strength to work." You know, round, 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 round. That's the way it is, isn't it? I mean, it's a cycle, you see. But we need to work. We need to work. When we don't work, it increases our necessities in life. Okay? And it brings us to want. It brings us to want. So diligent work. Diligent work. Working with his hands the thing which is good. Diligent work is very, very important. It must be honest work. Must be honest work. If you're paid to work 8 hours, you need to work 8 hours. Amen? If you're paid to work 10 hours, you need to work 10 hours. If you need to be at work at 7 o'clock, you need to be at work at 10 minutes too, right? I mean, you need to be at work on time. You leave on time. That's honest work. That's honest work. See, and, you know, if you have a lunch time, if it's 30 minutes or 45 minutes, an hour, what it is, you take it and that's it. That's honest work. Now, we don't see that a lot today, do we? We don't see that a lot today. If I don't work when I should work, if I don't do what I should do, I'm stealing. I'm stealing. I'm not doing what I should do. And God's going to hold me accountable for that. My boss may not see it, okay? My co-workers may not see it, but my employer does. It's God. He's given me that job. Therefore, if I must realize that I give accountability to him. I count to him and no one else. Working with his hands, the thing which is good, it is work for the benefit of others as well as ourselves. Notice it says right here, working with his hands, the things which is good, why? First of all, we see here that he may have to give to him that needeth. First of all, we need to work to provide our needs, don't we, for ourselves and our families. But also, if God blesses us abundantly, we also need to be willing to help those in need. God does not intend, I really believe this in my heart, God does not intend for a Christian just to work for himself. He says right here, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That needeth. You and I don't have to look far to find people that have needs. We can look in our neighborhood. We can look in our church. We can look anywhere you work at, probably, and find people that have needs. If God blesses you and God blesses me to have abundance, God says we're to give to people that have need. We're to give to these kind of people. That's what he says right here. Every Christian should have a calling, have a profession, have a job to do. Every Christian has a job to do, whatever it is. We see that Christianity promotes work, not idleness. Not idleness. It's rare that an idle man become a Christian. You know that? It's rare that an idle man become a Christian. Well, if a person does become a Christian, he wants to do something. He wants to do something. I never forget when I got saved. The number one thing I wanted to do in my life at that moment was to tell somebody else I got saved. I want to tell somebody else I got saved. My wife this week was talking to someone in our family. And a young man. And she began to talk to him. And she began to tell that he didn't sound like he used to sound. And first of all, first thing she knew, he told her, "Hey, I got saved." Amen. And we rejoice in that because of his change in his life now. Even the tone of his voice is different, folks. Listen, I've said this before. No one can be saved and not do it, know it. No one can be saved and not know he needs to change, and he is changed. The Bible says if we're in Christ Jesus, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new in our life. See, when God comes into my life, he changes me. When God comes into your life, he changes you. God can't be in you, God can't be in me without a change. It's impossible. It's impossible, you see. So Christianity promotes work. Christianity should have some useful and honest employment. They should work that which is good. That which is good. The Bible tells us here in this verse right here, Christians are not to make money to become rich. Not to make money to become rich. They make money to have the means to benefit others. Benefit others. If you had $2 million and you willed it to whoever you want to will it to, chances are, I don't have children, but I've seen this break up, literally, children because of the abundance the parents left the children. I mean, they fuss and fight over it all the time. Why not give it to who you want to give it to before you go? Amen? Why not honor God with it? If God gives it to you, it's God that gave you the gift to be able to get it anyway. Why not give it to God? Why not give it to someone that has a need? I'm not talking about a desire. I'm talking about a need in their life. A need in their life. And again, we don't have to look far to find that today. So we, Christians, are not to make money to become rich. Christians are to work to have the means to benefit others. We should labor in order that we might be have the means to do good to other people. Do good to other people. I thank God that God gives us an opportunity to do good sometimes to other people. What a blessing it is to help somebody else. What a joy it is to be able to help somebody else. And I'm thankful though for many in this church that helped me and my wife. And you've helped other people too. You've helped other people too. And you know, it's a blessing to do this and blessing to be able to do that also. Well, work is to be honest. It is not for ourselves only. It is to supply our needs, yes it is. But it's not to be selfish. We're not to be selfish. We're not to be selfish with what we have. Selfishness will corrupt and leave our jobs and our sales empty. We'll have plenty of money, but we'll be unhappy. We won't be people that we ought to be. We won't be people we ought to be because of selfishness. Work is to be for the Lord's purpose. The Lord's purpose. God's put us on this earth to help one another. I believe that with all my life. Help one another. God's put us here. Notice he says, right, working with his hands the things which is good that he may have to to give to him that needeth. It says to give to him that needeth. It don't say loan to him that needeth. It says give. Give to him that needeth, you know. I've learned the hard way, and you probably have too. People that have really needs in their life, wanting to borrow something, you loan it to them. What happens? Most time you never see it. You never see it. We should have the heart, we should have the desire whenever someone is like that in our that we know it, that when we give it to them, do not expect it back. Amen. Don't expect it back. Because listen, they're in need. You have abundance. Right? Why should you expect them to give it back to you when you have more than you need already? You know, the Bible tells us to lay up treasures in heaven. Moth and rust is not corrupt. Don't lay it up on this earth. You know? Give. Learning to give. What a blessing it is to be able to give. You say, working to help others is the will of God. I believe that with all my heart. Working to help others is the will of God. Now, I'm not saying don't meet your own needs. Your own needs are important. But working also to help somebody else. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to be able to do that very thing. So what is Paul saying here to us? He's saying to us, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Labor. Labor is the key, folks. Work, 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 work. If I'm busy working, God's going to provide for me what I need in my life. Therefore, if I will not be tempted to steal, I am not even coming to my thinking at all. If I work and if I labor and do what I can do to provide for my own self. See, I'm responsible for myself, my wife, my family, my needs. I'm responsible. God's given me that responsibility. And He's given you that responsibility as a husband too. And we're to do that. We're to do that. And we can with God's help. It's hard. It's hard. But only by God's grace and God's help can we make it through this life. You know, I'm looking forward to the Lord coming. I really am. Looking forward to Him calling us home. And I get out of this world. And I don't have to worry about things that I have to deal with here. The bills I have to pay. Gas prices soaring to almost $4 a gallon. Groceries are out of the reason. I mean, you know, I mean, everything is just escalating as far as cost is concerned. And it's putting Christians especially in a bind. We're having to rebudget and rebudget and rebudget and rebudget. You know, and after a while, you don't have no budget. I mean, you know, it takes more than you make even to survive. I'm talking about to have food on the table, a place to stay, and the necessities in life. It takes it all. But praise God one day, folks. One day, it's going to all be over. It's going to all be over. We won't have to be worried about being tempted to steal and tempted to lie and tempted to getting angry and all these things that we have to face in this life. But I'm so glad today that God lives in us and God will enable us to do what we ought to do while we're still here. He will enable us. But we have to look to Him, we have to trust Him, we have to pray, we have to do everything we can, and then ask God to help us. God to help us. God will not help me if I don't help myself. I'll believe that with all my heart. I have to do everything I can do myself. And when I do that, God always steps in. He always steps in and provides what I need. He'll provide what you need also. I thank God we serve a true and living God that loves us, that cares about us, and wants us to walk the Christian walk here to bring honor and glory to Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You today for loving us. Thank You to God for the Word of God that You've given us. Thank You for Paul writing these things as he was inspired by You to remind us as Your children that we need You in our lives. Lord, and we don't trust you and ask you to help us, Lord, we're in danger. God, we need your help. And God, I pray you'd help us every day to ask you to give us the strength, give us the knowledge, give us the wisdom that we need to do what we ought to do, to walk the walk that the Christian should walk. Father, help us to put off these old garments, Lord, that we brought with us from our birth. And God, help us to serve and worship the true and the living God in a way to honor him. Father, we approach now the next hour. Lord, I ask you to bless the singing. Lord, bless our preacher. Give him strength. Give him wisdom. Lord, to preach, thus saith the Lord today. And God, give us receptive hearts to your word. God, that you might help us again today. Help that one that's lost to get saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.